Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkowitz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we continue to review the victory, the Packers' victory over the Seahawks, and look ahead to this Sunday's trip to Chicago, we heard from Mike McCarthy on Monday, and he was pretty straightforward about this whole playoff situation and where his team sits, as he's been in the past, and as I remember him actually saying back in 2007, the first year that the Packers went to the playoffs under McCarthy, it's about getting to 10 wins. You don't talk about the postseason until you get to 10 wins. For the Packers, that means winning the last three games, so Mike McCarthy does not want to talk about playoff scenarios at all. The focus is all on Chicago and getting win number 8 and getting that much closer to 10.
Yeah, the two biggest things I took out of his Monday afternoon news conference were, one, he was really happy with the performance of how they played against Seattle, how they really met that challenge, but that wasn't without areas of improvement. There were still things that he wanted to sit down and talk with the team about, get the necessary corrections made, and try to improve. But overall, generally happy with what they did. But two was, as great as that was, you don't want to have the letdown game now. You don't want to let up the gas. And he said, I would say three times he went out of his way during that news conference to mention how well the Chicago Bears are playing. The Bears took the Lions right down to the wire. You and I were watching it in the press box at Lambeau Field on Sunday afternoon. And
that's right.
You know, if there are a couple calls that maybe go a different way there, it might have been a different outcome. But now the Green Bay Packers go from cheering for Chicago to very much wanting to beat this team and continue on their little run that they've been on and you know, make this this run the table theory really something tangible.
Yeah, you look at the Bears, and it's not just about how tight they played the Lions on Sunday and losing by 3 points and being on the verge of field goal range to maybe get the game, at least get the game to overtime there on Sunday. You look at the Bears' last few games, they lost to the Giants by 6. The Giants are one of the hottest teams in the league right now, having just beaten the Cowboys. They lost by 6 to the Tennessee Titans, a team that has found itself and is trying to make a push to win the AFC South. And they beat up on a bad San Francisco team in the snow in Chicago. So yeah, the Bears are only 3-10, but Mike McCarthy sees John Fox having this team playing its best football right now. They didn't necessarily get it going soon enough to be able to be talking playoffs like the Packers are. But this is a team that's playing as well as it has, better than it has all season long. And, you know, cold weather, Soldier Field, everything that's going to go into this Packers-Bears game, it's going to be a 60-minute contest.
Yeah, and McCarthy said, I mean, anytime you play at Soldier Field, you play against the Bears, it's going to be a tough matchup. Chicago, and we'll talk more about this later this week, but I mean, when you look at how their season has kind of played out, the hard luck that sort of developed across the board, whether it be the suspensions or the injuries, really have had to adjust and adapt a lot with their personnel. Now you look at a team like Green Bay. Now they're going to be coming off this, you know, this third consecutive victory. They're getting some of these guys back. They're getting healthier. We have to see exactly what the prognosis will be for Jared Cook. But all things considered, listen to Dom Capers and these coaches talk yesterday. They feel good about where they're at, and the key is to continue on that incline as you know, they move forward.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy talked about that again as well. That. It's still about improving. It's still about getting better. The Packers are playing their best football right now, but they haven't played the best football that they can play. That's still what the coaching staff is pushing for, what they're demanding, what these players are capable of achieving. And you have to stay on that upward climb if you're going to extend a winning streak. The Packers are right now, they have to extend this winning streak from 3 to 6. They need to win all three of these division games. And you and I have talked about it before too. There is nothing tougher in football than division games. I don't care what division you're in. They can be some of the most unpredictable type games, like we talked about, you know, Lions and Bears last week. Chicago, you don't think there's much going for them. They're going into Detroit. The Lions are in first place and playing at home. And what happens? The Bears end up one pass play away from either winning that game or getting it to overtime. That's division football, and it happens in the NFC North just like everywhere else.
Yeah, and the Matt Barkley that the Green Bay Packers are going to see on Sunday is a lot different than the Matt Barkley that came in as a third-string quarterback at Lambeau Field.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely. And the other thing, too, and McCarthy mentioned this, the one thing he definitely did concede is that the resiliency of this team has been really what has gotten them to this point, battling through the injuries, battling through the tough losses, staying positive. He kind of laughed a little bit when he was asked about how he was able to maintain that approach, joking that, hey, I mean, look at me. How can you not be a positive guy? But at the end of the day, the Packers are 7-6 again. That was the goal, to get above 500, to get back in this chase. And as they go into Soldier Field this weekend, they're right in prime position to do that with three division games left on the schedule.
Yeah, and McCarthy actually talked about it as though the challenge is greater now, that there are a lot of positive feelings. Things are going the right way. You have to handle that. You have to channel that properly. That's actually tougher than dealing with a four-game losing streak where everybody just digs down deep into their gut, into their character, and turns it around. And that's the challenge that's facing the Packers now, how to keep it going and work this the right way.
And they're no longer pulling themselves out of a losing streak. They're dealing with a winning streak, and it's about having that same mentality that they had to get them back to this place in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. Excuse me. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, sticking with McCarthy's Monday press conference, he made, I guess, what you'd have to call the official announcement. It was sort of a long time coming, or maybe the least shocking official announcement of a McCarthy press conference of all time. But Ty Montgomery is a running back. McCarthy actually revealed that he hasn't gone to a position group meeting with the wide receivers for a couple of months now. He is a running back. Ignore the jersey number. That's not what it's about. His title and job description is in the backfield, and the Packers have been better for it.
Yeah, they have, and it was really interesting hearing Ty Montgomery speak about it afterwards. And it's kind of funny how this all works out. I mean, they were pretty upfront and honest, and McCarthy even, you know, jokingly apologized that they didn't make an official announcement, that he hadn't been to the receiving meetings in months, that he switched over to with Ben Sermons and the running backs. But Montgomery talked quite a bit about this, about how this even came up, that he eventually became a wide receiver, because for most of his life, he was a running back at 6 feet, you know, 216 pounds. If you just put his measurables up and you don't put anything else out there, you would think he was probably a running back. But when he was in high school, the offense that they were running at the time, it was a pass-heavy offense. And his coach basically laid it out for him and said, if you want to play, you're going to have to play receiver. He's like, I don't care. That's fine. I want to be on varsity. And then when the recruiters started coming in, he's like, well, I don't care where I play. I want to go play in college. So he stayed at receiver. He stayed at receiver for most of his time at Stanford, dabbled a little bit in the backfield. But now in the NFL, the Packers needed him to step up. Originally, it was kind of seen as just a sort of change of pace. But with these injuries to Eddie Lacy, James Starks, he had to become a running back. And what we ended up learning is at 5.2 yards per carry this season, he's a pretty darn good running back.
Yeah.
And that's the way the Packers are going to proceed from here on out.
Yeah, it was great to see him get his first rushing touchdown on Sunday against the Seahawks. And we talked about this a few weeks ago when Montgomery was kind of just settling into the backfield role, but then, you know, his snaps were limited somewhat by the illness he was dealing with. But he's a matchup problem for defenses. Yeah. Because you always want to have a player assigned to somebody in, you know, the perimeter group, as it's called, defensively. And so the defenses have to decide, are you going to assign a linebacker to him, or are you going to assign a defensive back? Well, if he's lined up in the backfield and you assign a linebacker, then that's an opportunity maybe to flare him out of the backfield for a pass and get a one-on-one opportunity in space against a guy who's not as fast.
Right.
If you assign a defensive back to him and Montgomery again is in the backfield, well, then the defensive front against the run is lighter, is not as stout, because you have a smaller guy there in the box, as they say. And these are the types of matchups that the Packers like to create, that Aaron Rodgers then can make checks at the line and decide what to do with the ball and see how the defense is going to react to number 88.
Yeah, and offensive coordinator Edgar Bennett was talking a little bit about this on Monday evening when he met with the media, in that, you know, he looked at him, Luke Getsy looked at him, obviously the Packers scouting department and their personnel department looked at him. When they came together in their pre-draft meetings, they really all came to the same conclusion that this guy is versatile. There's a number of ways you can use him in the offense. What's impressed me the most about Montgomery, I think he can run solid routes. I think we saw that last year. He can be an impactful, you know, pass catcher. But the way he's ran between the tackles this season and the way he's picked up blitzes, considering he's only been working with Ben Sermons for the last few months, this has sort of been an in-season adjustment that he's had to make. But he's played a pretty well-rounded, fully functional running back. And when you talk to Aaron Rodgers, when you listen to these guys speak, you know, when the offense has clicked the most, it's been with Ty Montgomery in the backfield. That's not, no disrespect to any other of their running backs, but he's been, for whatever reason, kind of the spark plug for this offense. They did it again this past weekend, against Seattle, that he was sort of the guy that stirred the drink for them. So now going forward, everybody knows the game here. It's out there. People in their fantasy football leagues can make the adjustments finally. But this is a young man that has a lot of talent. And I think the Packers have really seen how far he can go and with how smart he is. They put a lot on his plate this year, and he ate it all up.
Yeah, I mean, this we saw last season, him coming out of Stanford in the draft, a third-round pick. He picked up the offense as fast as any rookie does, and this is not a simple offense.
Yeah.
I mean, his smarts, his intelligence, and his ability to absorb the playbook coming out of Stanford has been impressive. So what they threw at him at running back and learning, you know, a whole new sequence of things, a whole new list of job duties, if you might say, hasn't been an issue for him at all.
No, and the other thing, too, just so people don't get their expectations astronomically high, the Packers are still planning on using this committee approach in the backfield, too. I mean, Kristen Michael is going to be a part of this. James Starks is going to be a part of it. You saw Aaron Ripkowski, I think, play 24, 25 snaps in that game. So while Montgomery's fully able to handle that job, and as McCarthy said, he'll take as many reps and as many opportunities you can give him, he'll handle it fine. They still want to get multiple people involved. The one joking thing that I think everybody addressed in the locker room afterwards was, well, what does this mean for number 88?
Right.
Does he stay there? As Montgomery said, during the season, there's a rule. I don't know the exact rule, but you can't switch your number in season. So this offseason, maybe they'll give him a running back number. He said he'll cross that bridge when he comes to it, but whatever the case may be, it's an exciting time and obviously another weapon that the Packers have developed in that backfield.
Maybe if they're going to change his number, we'll do a poll on Packers.com
yeah.
and let the fans vote for what running back number they think Montgomery should have. But a story for the offseason maybe. With that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, we heard from the Packers coordinators on Monday afternoon as well, reviewing the Seattle game. Let's focus on the defense. Certainly a unit that is playing a completely different brand of football, you might say, over the last 3 weeks compared to the four-game losing streak. The team was surrendering, you know, 30-plus points a game for about a month there, and now they've given up 36 points over a stretch of three games.
Yeah.
A pretty significant turnaround, and I think the biggest factor, I think you would agree with me, is the health of the defensive backfield, getting Demarius Randle back to health, getting Quentin Rollins back to health. Ladarius Gunter does not need to be a number one cornerback. He can be a number three cornerback, which is really more what he came into the season ready to do. And it's been a progression. Rollins and Randle were not necessarily back to full speed, back to what everybody was hoping for as soon as they stepped on the field after the injuries. But now that they've had a couple of games under their belt, the secondary is at a different level.
Yeah, Joe Witt, the Packers cornerbacks coach, has earned his paycheck this year. and this is no disrespect to Ladarius Gunter, Demetri Goodson, or the multitude of guys they've had to use there. But
right.
That much shifting over the course of a season. And if you watch training camp, they cross-trained everybody. Demaryius Randle was playing inside and outside. That was a storyline during the offseason. Where are they going to position certain guys? Is Rollins going to play outside? Is Randle going to play outside? Well, as it turns out, they basically needed everyone to do everything this year. When you look at, you know, Ladarius Gunter learning the inside position and now working mainly as a boundary, starting boundary corner in this defense, yeah, with how much that they play nickel. Micah Hyde shifting as much as he's had to do. Morgan Burnett playing an inside linebacker whip position, as Dom Capers said on Monday night. So they're finally getting to a point where we're getting to see this cornerback room and the safeties group start to look more, I think, as everybody expected them to. You don't have Sam Shields. That was a huge loss right from the get-go. But the thing is, of playing 15 weeks now without Shields, this has allowed these young guys to kind of come together, develop their identity, and with Randle and Rollins both weeks removed now from those groin injuries, I think, as Dom Capers said, you're starting to see this group look like everybody expected them to look like.
Yeah, for sure. And that interception, the first interception by Demaryius Randle on Sunday, the one at the end of the first half when Wilson tries to kind of throw across his body, roll into his left, he sees Baldwin deep near the goal line there. That's a heck of an athletic play by Randle that I think, you know, and again, no disrespect to the other cornerbacks, but I don't know if any of the other cornerbacks on this roster could have made that play. That was a really special, special play, and it came at a big time.
Yeah, I don't know how many cornerbacks in the NFL make that play, to be quite honest with you. And I remember talking, as soon as he got drafted, I did a profile on him, and I talked to his JUCO baseball coach and his high school coach, his junior college coach, his college defensive coordinator, and the same thing everybody said is he's a ball hawk.
Yeah.
When he was in baseball, he was not a gold glove, but he was a really good center fielder.
Sure.
When he was at ASU, the way that they used him as a safety, but sort of like a slot cornerback, he was really effective playing up at the line of scrimmage. He's just a really naturally gifted young man. And now that he's not worrying so much about the groin anymore and he's been able to concentrate more on what he's doing out on the field, I think that's made him a better cornerback as well. And even a guy like Ladarius Gunter made some nice plays in that game. The ball hitting, his tight coverage, allowing that ball to hit off his back and Quentin Rollins to pick it off.
Yeah, I give Gunter a heck of a lot of credit because for a young guy who didn't play much as a rookie, as an undrafted guy trying to make his way in the NFL, and with the role that he was thrown into earlier this year with those other guys being injured, you know, he had some rough moments, he had some good plays, but this kid did not go in the tank. He stuck with it. He's been as mentally tough as anybody out there. And even just within Sunday's game, you look at it, early in the game, he was beat down the sideline by Doug Baldwin, and Wilson overthrew the ball, fortunately for the Packers. But then later in the game, that opening drive of the second half, same type of route, Jermaine Kearse down the sideline. Gunter is right with him the whole way. He turns his head around so as not to get the pass interference penalty, turns his head around, and then the ball happens to deflect to Rollins for the interception. But interception or not, that was a really good play by Gunter after he had been beaten essentially on that same type of play earlier.
And as Joe Witt said right at the beginning of this season, whatever the perceived lack of speed or whatever the knack was on him, the knock was on him coming out of Miami.
Right.
He makes up for it in his intelligence, his technique, and really his physicality. Really nice long arms, I think, is placed to his advantage. The one thing that is funny when I think back to this last offseason was the fact that Gunter actually said, yeah, my goal this year is to be active, to be on the 46-man roster every week. Well, he started 12 games now at cornerback.
Yeah, for sure. It's been quite a year for number 36. With that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, a couple of scheduling things we can touch on here before we go. First off, the Packers-Vikings game on Christmas Eve, December 24th, is not being moved from a noon kickoff. So we can breathe easy. Packer Nation, rejoice. Nobody has to change their Christmas plans. Us employees who will be working the game included. The game is not being shifted to 3:25. It's staying as a noon kickoff. And then the other thing, the NFL announcing four London games for 2017 and the Packers not on that list. So A trip to London, which I believe it's going to happen at some point, but it will not happen until 2018 at the earliest.
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer. Although I would have been surprised if we would have ended up on that list, to be quite honest with you, just based on everything we've heard over the years from Mike McCarthy and how this has worked out. But I couldn't have been more happy about the Christmas Eve thing. And the Hodkiewicz family, we spend Christmas Eve with my parents, and then we spend Christmas morning afternoon with my wife's parents. So okay. That would have thrown a big wrench into the established holiday plans, a tradition that I've had as long as I've been alive. So thank you to whoever made that happen. But I will enjoy hopefully being home at 7 o'clock and going about my merry business.
Yeah, we get home a lot earlier on Christmas Eve with a noon kickoff than we would have with 3:25. And I'm very thankful for that as well. Regarding the London game, a lot of fans have been asking over the years, when are the Packers going to go to London? Fans that are in Europe wondering, when are the Packers going to go to London so they can come see a game? And we've heard from Mark Murphy many times, the Packers are not interested in giving up a home game to go to London.
Right.
And it's very difficult to get a Packers road opponent to give up the game against Green Bay because Packer fans travel so well, it becomes almost a guaranteed sellout. The one situation in which I think it will eventually lead to the Packers going to London is the league has said that teams that are going to be hosting Super Bowls in their stadiums, the league can compel them to take a game over to London, and maybe, you know, maybe it's Packers Vikings because there's going to be,
yeah,
you know, or if when the Packers go to Los Angeles next because their new stadium is going to host a Super Bowl, those Super Bowl cities, that might be the opportunity somewhere down the road where the game goes over to London.
Yeah, and LA, I think, is a commitment there for, what is it, 3 consecutive years they're going to be taking one overseas as they wait for their stadium. So that's definitely in the books. I'm waiting for it. I know Packer fans want to see it, but at the same time, people that have season tickets don't want to see that game removed from Lambeau Field.
Yeah, for sure. And we've heard that that's not how it's going to go. But with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. The team account is at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.